Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Thursday, September 14th, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Hey, man. It is going well. Thanks for having me.
So glad you are here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'll do my Dave Hamilton. Hey, happy to be here. It's a beautiful day.
You do the best impressions ever.
Wait, no, hold on.
What's that other word?
Not best. Not best. Worst. That's the one. I think that's the one you were looking for.
Now, see, what I like about John's impressions, Brian, is that he always has a preface, which is, this is the impression I'm about to do. So there's no question, even though it may never sound at all like what you're expecting, you know what the impression's supposed to be.
Fair enough.
That goes a long way.
It does.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing, and they're the company that makes the software that you need to back up your iPhone and your iPad, and it's totally awesome, and we'll talk about them soon. But first, John, I want you to tell me why you think the iPhone 8 may be kind of a dud seller.
Well, first of all, I have to another preface. I was looking at the sales mix and the timing and the prices and pondering the situation. Mm-hmm. I think Apple would have preferred to ship the iPhone 10 on time. That's the first premise. And I think the second is that there could be some mild cause for concern about the delay of the iPhone 10 and the less than stellar appeal of the iPhone 8. So I explored that. That was the idea. I did not claim that it would be a dud or that it's a bad phone. So I tried to be analytical about it.
Of course you did.
The pros and the cons. The pros are that there are people who have iPhone 6s and 6s who are probably ready to upgrade. And I showed a chart from Business Insider that shows the number of outstanding phones. And the 6 is the most popular of all time. Currently the most active phone on the planet. That was 2014, so those people were thinking of a new phone. And if they skipped the 7, they're really ready for an 8.
So let me write a note here. Let's see if I understand. See, John Martellaro thinks Apple is quiet, doomed. Quiet. Got it. Okay, go ahead.
Quiet. I'm giving you my intro. So there's cause for belief that the iPhone 8 with wireless charging and being a new phone, a faster chip, will appeal to a broad range of people because of its price and because they're ready to upgrade. On the other hand, I haven't seen much evidence that there's a lot of excitement about the iPhone 8. I've seen two different polls recently that show people are greatly interested in the iPhone 10 and not so interested in the iPhone 8. It could be that people will hold out, decide to splurge, decide that for an extra $10 a month, they can have the phone they want. All of this could mess with Apple's sales numbers, or it could not, to be determined. But I explored the issues.
All right. So what phone are you looking at buying? And are you even looking at upgrading your phone?
Yeah, I'm looking at getting an iPhone 10. I'm jazzed.
All right. And what phone do you have today?
I have an iPhone 7 today.
Okay. And Brian,
yeah, just three whole numbers.
Yeah. So clearly lead. It's going to be a big upgrade.
Yeah.
And Brian, I already know you're looking at the iPhone 10.
Yep.
And I was, for a little while kind of waffling, excuse me, on maybe going with an iPhone 8 versus an iPhone 10. But the iPhone 10's kind of growing on me.
I haven't talked to anybody who wants an 8.
Well, okay. So the thing is that in general, we should always, the three of us, the people who do what we do for a living, should always be careful about judging the world based upon, you know, the people we know and the people that we interact with.
I know that's something I steered away from in the article.
I mean, Apple has you know, Apple has always been questioned when it does things like keep two-year-old models for sale or, you know, introducing any of its entry-level devices have often been questioned, and yet they have always done quite well.
The iPhone SE is still selling and is still in Apple's product lineup.
Yeah, for some unknown reason. See, here I am. I'm questioning it. And I suspect that a large pool of Apple customers are going to be buying their iPhones based a little more on price. I mean, like, look at the fact that iPhones sell in the 3 months before Apple releases a new iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Like, every day, people are buying new iPhones.
Right. And you know, we know that Apple is about to announce something. Of course, Apple did just announce something. But in the lead up to that, we know that Apple is about to announce it. Everybody understands that this is going to happen in September and that they're going to ship while the quarter is still going so that Apple can get that quarter's worth of sales. But the reality is that in the days and weeks leading up to that, Apple is still selling iPhones because people don't know or they don't care. They're not mm-hmm. plugged in like we are. We watch and the people that know us and read us and listen to us and in some cases that love us outside of reading our content, those people tend to also know what Apple's going to do. But there's just a lot of people who are going to buy the new iPhone, and if they can't get the iPhone 10 and it's expensive to boot, they're going to buy the iPhone 8. I suspect
the question is, what is the mix going to be, and will the mix be favorable or unfavorable to Apple based on customer hype and that and marketing hype and journalism hype about the iPhone 10, customers' aspirations, the feeling that the iPhone 8 is not a big enough upgrade. There's a lot of factors that go into this and the convolution of the price and the delayed time could make for an interesting scenario of people electing to delay a decision, electing to opt for a slightly more expensive phone.
But they won't be able to get
features.
They won't be able to get it. This thing's going to be in short supply. So,
well, that's okay. They'll be saving their money between now and October 27th.
I suspect the 8, well, that doesn't matter if they can't get it until October 2018.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to walk into an Apple store and say, I want an iPhone 10. And they're going to be told, well, first, you can't order it till the end of October. And then when you do order it, it's probably going to be several weeks before you can get it. And then the people are going to say, okay, then what phone's available now?
That's for people who need
iPhone 8, and people will buy it.
Well, that's for people who need a phone now, but for people who think about what kind of phone they want to upgrade to, they may have a different opinion and not settle for an 8, knowing what it's missing.
Yeah, I don't think most people care.
Yeah,
they're getting an iPhone.
I think that the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus are going to sell nicely. And
it could.
And the iPhone 10 will sell nicely as well, but probably
it all work out nicely.
The 10 is going to be constrained by availability.
Mm-hmm. Remember, I'm not arguing that the 8 is going to be a dud. I'm just posing the questions to be considered as we're discussing.
Right.
And so the 10 will be constrained by availability. And if Apple could ship enough 10s, if they can lick their production problems that they're supposedly experiencing, and Apple's own release date backs up that notion, Apple could have a favorable mix towards the 10. But I also don't think we should discount the fact that a lot of people cannot afford the 10. It's an expensive device.
Yes. And for those people, they're going to get a really nice phone in the 8 or 8 Plus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or even get the 7.
Or even, so, yeah.
Remember, we tend to think of the Delta as one chunk, but for people who pay on an installment program or a lease, it is a little more than maybe approximately $11 a month. The psychology, the marketing, the salesmanship of that aspect may change people's minds for $11 a month extra.
Yep, it could.
Yep. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing. And I said yesterday that DigiDNA, the people that make iMazing, they should buy Apple the Fruit Basket as a big thank you. And I'm saying it again today. With the release of iTunes 12.7, iMazing suddenly becomes even more valuable. Because what it does is it lets you back up your iOS devices to your computer, and it lets you back up everything. So the parts of the backup that you don't get in iTunes anymore, meaning like your third-party apps, that's part of what iMazing will back up for you. And iMazing is already iOS 11 savvy. And I've tested this myself because I'm backing up an iPhone and three iPads right now to iMazing. And three of those devices are running iOS 11. One is running iOS 10. And my backups are all just fine across the board. So what you guys need to do, if you want to have the best thing that I found for backing up your iOS devices, and then for selectively restoring data to those devices, you need iMazing. So head over to their website, iMazing.com/TDO. And when you do that, you can pick up a copy of iMazing. You can try it out, make sure it works for you. And you can also get a 20% discount. So iMazing.com/TDO. Get your copy of iMazing. Get your 20% discount. It's off of individual license or group licenses. And it is so worth it, even without the discount. But hey, you know, if you get to save a couple bucks, why not? iMazing.com/TDO. Thank you to iMazing for backing up all of my iOS devices and for being our sponsor today. Okay, so there's another thing I wanted to talk about today, which is Face ID. And specifically, the demo, excuse me, that Craig Federighi did of Face ID earlier this week when he was showing off iPhone 10.
Earlier this week? Wow, it seems like so long ago now.
I know, but today's Thursday, so it was only two days ago.
I know, it feels like forever ago.
Yeah, so here's what happened. Craig holds up this iPhone 10 and starts to tell everyone how fast it unlocks and opens up your phone. And instead of seeing the home screen on the phone, we see the thing that says, hey, you have to enter your passcode. So Craig's like, huh. And so he hits the power button to put it to sleep, wakes it back up, and it does the same thing. And then at that point, he's like, hey, let's just use the backup phone. Picks it up, it works fine, and off he goes and finishes up the presentation. So he handled that pretty gracefully. But what happened was everyone seems to have keyed in on the initial iPhone where it didn't do Face ID unlock when they expected. So people were saying, well, there you go, Face ID, it's half baked, it's a fail, it's not going to work, and Apple has issued a statement. Actually, what happened was David Pogue asked Apple, hey, what really happened? And what Apple said was that they went through the phone's logs and found out that the people that were backstage that were handling all the devices didn't realize that they were pointing the Face ID camera, excuse me, at themselves. And so the phone went through enough Face ID checks where it hit the point where it said, yeah, you just need to enter your passcode, which is the same thing that you get when you touch your Touch ID home button too much. And it, you know, like with the wrong finger. And then eventually it says, yeah, just put in your passcode. They say that's what happened. So
everything's, it was working like it should, right? So everything's good, right? Is that what you're saying to me? Is that what you're saying to me, Jeff?
That's what Apple's saying to
us. I'm calling Balderdash.
Balderdash, you say? Tell me why, Brian.
Because this is, while it may in fact have been indicating that the phone was operating as it should, what it is also indicating is that the phone operating as it should is going to be problematic. You know, especially
not necessarily, like, but
because
Depends on how many people you have backstage working on your phone, Brian.
Well, no, it depends on how many people you have around you that may end up picking up your phone or looking at your phone or, you know, bending their face over to look at your phone, especially, you know, it's this new fancy iPhone 10 that you're talking about, right? You know, think about how many people are going to want to see our phones. And every time that happens, we're going to end up running into the same problem that Craig ran into.
Well, they're not going to see much if it's in lock screen. So if you're going to show something, say if you're going to show somebody the features of your phone, you're probably going to unlock it first, right?
Maybe.
Because there's nothing to see otherwise, except buttons and glass back.
Yeah, well, you were also okay with the idea of having to put down your groceries before you use your Apple Watch. So
it's starting, Jeff.
Anyway, I get the fact that it was in fact operating successfully and that it was doing what it was supposed to do, and that this wasn't a Face ID fail, but I think this may be an issue of unforeseen consequences of having this kind of thing.
Maybe Apple learned something from this. Maybe they need to turn off Face ID after the phone's been sitting quietly for more than 60 seconds. Maybe there'll be some changes made. What fascinates me, though, about this story is the shoot from the hip science that the community likes to do. You know, there's always something deeper. One of the things we know as journalists is there's always something behind the story, something deeper under the surface you have to dig for. Mm-hmm. And the shoot from the hip aspect of this, in order to get page views, in order to ridicule Apple, in order to create a sense of false excitement, the shoot from the hip science aspect of that is what fascinates me about all of this. Yeah, and the follow-up story that explains it, as you wrote, Jeff, is just glorious.
Yeah, the explanation that Apple gives, I think that it's the truth. I don't think they're making something up to try and cover up a Face ID design issue. I think what they said is what really happened. But that said, I don't think it's going to stop people from saying, well, Face ID was a fail. We saw Craig Federighi get on stage and not be able to get it to work. Apple is doomed. Sell the stock. Give the money back to Apple's the shareholders. Doomed.
That's never been said before.
Never.
Never.
The reality is that ain't no one going to care about that thing on the stage. This isn't it. The stage issue is an echo chamber problem. The only way that this is going to be an issue is if the daily interaction that people have with their devices results in FaceTime trying to scan too many faces around the device. Then that would be a problem, and then people could call it a fail, and then Apple would actually have a serious issue on its hand. If that's not the case, if daily handling of this device does not result in what Craig experienced, this is a non-issue that only the echo chamber will ever know anything about.
And I'm betting that if it is an actual issue, that Apple is already working on a patch to address that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I know they make a bunch of prototypes. I know that they have gobs of people testing these devices in real world-ish conditions, but still, they can't test for every contingency, and it may very well be that doing the demo at their new theater was exposure to a contingency they hadn't planned on.
Well, probably because the iPhone X was tightly held, right? It was... We didn't want to have it laying around in some bar for somebody to pick up, like the famous iPhone, what was it, 4? It was probably closely held and tested one-on-one. So here was a real-world experience that they're going to have to think about and maybe think about fixing.
And in this case, it sounds like there were several people backstage that the support crew that make sure that everything goes smoothly. And they're handing this phone back and forth as it's going around where it needs to be. And they didn't realize it. They were holding it up to their faces while they were doing it.
I bet they weren't even holding it. See, that's the thing. Were they holding up to their faces? That'll be the thing. And this is going to take real world testing for anyone to really know. And I'm going to get this thing.
Yeah, I know I'm going to end up getting one too. And I have to say, though, this is the first time that I'm buying an iPhone where I have legitimate concerns that I'm going to be unhappy with some elements. And no, let me rephrase that. Not legitimate. I have real concerns. I don't know if they're legitimate or not, but
Just be anxiety over the unknown.
Sure. I didn't feel like this with Touch ID, but I'm a little nervous about the iPhone X.
You know, it's interesting that Apple didn't introduce Face ID with Touch ID. So, like, make it an option.
Well, my guess is that they didn't do that because they couldn't get Touch ID to work. And
the buttonless Touch ID, you mean?
Yeah. Thank you. The buttonless Touch ID. Yeah. And my speculation is that had Touch ID worked, what we would have had was an iPhone X that had Touch ID and Face ID as an option, but that the primary use of that camera for Face ID was going to be the other stuff, the Animoji, things like that.
I agree. I think it was, from what I've read, exactly as you described it, Jeff, trying to do both, fall back to Face ID only. Another situation where it was less than optimum for Apple, but Apple puts on a good face, makes it look like that was the plan all along.
Yep, that's Apple trying to control their message all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Indeed, man. I will see you in a week.
Yes, and enjoy your time off.
Thanks.
And John, thank you for being here today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always great to have both of you here. I'm so glad that iMazing is our sponsor this week. With iOS 11 coming out next week, you need to get iMazing today if you don't have it already. iMazing.com/TDO. Get 20% off your copy. I use it all the time. I am so happy to have iMazing on my computer. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.